Recently, we had the pleasure of attending a community college conference held in Gearhart, Oregon. And attending this conference were a number of experts, most of them from the state of California, to assist Portland in their construction, in their building of a Portland Community College. One of these was Dr. Calvin Flint, president of Foothill College at Los Altos Hills, California. And through the medium of tape recording, we are going to discuss the community college movement with him. Dr. Flint, my first question is this. I've heard of junior colleges in California, not so much community colleges. Is there a difference between a community college and a junior college?
Well, Leonard, it's rather easy to give an answer to that in a negative manner and simply saying, no, there is no difference whatsoever. Yes. However, historically, there is no doubt, but what the term junior college was applied to the two-year institution in California. Legally, every institution of 2 years in California is still a junior college. However, as we have developed our institution, as we have developed a program in which is to meet the need of the community in which we are located, we have dropped the term junior and applied the term community because it has the connotation that we are serving all the facets of the community life.
In other words, then, you say that a community college is a college that that serves all areas of community life, from the student who has just graduated from high school on up through the person who is 60 or 70 years old and who may wish to acquire a high school education?
Very firmly, this is true. However, again, I have to give a reservation that a community college is going to meet the needs of the local community. A community college, in being established in a local community, should recognize what services are already available to the people of that area, and therefore a community college might develop which would not have adult education as such, for example. It might be that a community college would not develop a strong forum program because it might go into an area in which there was already a strong forum program or a strong adult education program, as I've already mentioned.
You must assess your community then
Always,
in order to
yes.
find out what the educational needs are.
A community college in California we think of as being an institution which should analyze its community, should develop a number of research people, community groups, resource people who will help us to decide what we should be doing within a local area. And then on that basis, we will move ahead.
Now, we were discussing before we started doing our taping this evening, Dr. Flint, the five basic purposes of a community college. And I think there was a little argument as to whether there were four or five. Could you give us these?
Yes, and it's true that there has been discussion as to whether that we have the four or five, and it's a matter of emphasis given to one or two of them. But I think most of us in California today have come to the place where we think of as our responsibility in five major areas. One is of taking the student, no matter what his age, who wishes to transfer to a baccalaureate institution, giving him the first 2 years so he can transfer on without any difficulty whatsoever. So that's the transfer program.
Now, first of all, well,
yes,
just
right ahead.
When you say a baccalaureate program, you mean that he can transfer from this two-year program to a what you might call a regular
four-year
college.
Institution.
All
yes.
right, fine. Go ahead.
To a four-year institution where he can work toward a baccalaureate program,
all
which
right.
is at the end of 4 years, without any interruption in his training or without any loss of credit at the time of transfer.
All right, that's one.
Number two is that of the vocational technical training for the type of a world in which we live today, in which we need greater emphasis upon the technical skills required of our workers. So that's a second area. A third one is that of developmental, and it's a term that used to be called remedial, but developmental training, developmental education for the young person who maybe hasn't had the desire early enough, or whatever other reason there may be, has not applied himself or herself in high school, and that we bring them along to the place where they can do a better job. And
well,
while we were discussing earlier, I'd like to just continue this one for one second.
All right.
While we were discussing it just before we opened this, I mentioned that at Foothill College, that 41% of the young people who come to us from high school, where they might have been considered as poor academic risks, do, by the end of 1 year, very good college work.
All right, before we go to the next two reasons, this was what I was going to ask
yes.
you about, Dr. Flint. Why do these 41% do so much better? Is it a matter of growing up, or do you feel it is a matter of your counseling situation, or what?
Oh, I think it's attributable to many factors. The first one that you use, that of growing up, of maturation, is certainly unquestioned. The first place, our average age of graduation from high school today is quite different than when a few of us graduated, which meant that we were graduating from high school at about 18 years of age, and our students graduating from high school today are 17 years and a few months in most cases, and therefore they haven't become mature enough to realize certain responsibilities. Secondly, there is no doubt in my mind that when they leave the compulsory requirements of a secondary education, get into a collegiate atmosphere, a junior college atmosphere, or community college atmosphere, where we put pressures on them in the sense of saying, you're on your own. Either you make it or you flunk. We aren't going to baby you. They suddenly develop certain responsibilities which amaze all of us. Thirdly, I don't think there's any question in the world that the counseling program, which most of our community colleges have been able to assist these young people in a determination that they're going to do a better job. But I am convinced of all of these three that the one that's the most important of all is placing the student on, a student on his own.
We just, both of us, have just heard a few minutes ago Dr. Mayhew say that he felt every instructor in a community college, this is the way at least I read it, every instructor in a community college should be a counselor. Is this the way you feel?
Well, I'm going to have to disagree with a man who is an authority in his field and yet not disagree with him in the sense that I recognize that every young student in a college must have an adult to whom he can turn. You never know quite who that adult may be. You never know quite what the rapport may be, the empathy with an individual. And therefore, there's no doubt in my mind that a student many times will turn to a faculty member for direction, and it will be marvelous assistance that the student will obtain. However, I believe very strongly in a professional counseling staff, so that every student will be assigned to a counselor who is trained to try to understand the student, assuming a counselor is a man who will also recognize the quality which can be given by the faculty to the students through counseling on an individual basis. So that I am in favor very strongly of a separated and a very strong professional counseling staff.
Now, we've gone through, I believe, or you have named three of the purposes of a community college. Could we go from there?
Yes, I believe that I've given the transfer, I've given the vocational, I've given the developmental.
Yes.
A fourth one is the one which we've already been referring, and that is counseling. And as Dr. Mayhew has pointed out, counseling in some institutions is done by the total professional staff, the total teaching staff, and is done very well. We happen to, in Foothill, and I think I should say in most of the junior colleges or community colleges of California, believe in the professional counseling staff to assist the students. And then the fifth one is that of community services. That of, and this is a very broad area, in some communities it includes adult education, and some communities it does not include adult education as such. It includes education for adults at college level. It includes certainly the assistance to adults in the way of vocational training programs, upgrading. It certainly includes all types of cultural development.
Dr. Flint, what is the reason, and there must be some reason, for the seemingly rapid growth of community colleges? At least here in Oregon we find this true.
Oh, I suppose that we could say that there is a tendency which has been typical in history, that when you have a growth of a social institution, somehow it begins to snowball. And that there might be, 50 years from now, an analysis of what has happened in the community college development, which would indicate that there has been a snowball effect. I personally do not happen to feel that this is true. I think the community college has, interestingly, and maybe it's to be expected, has come along at a time in which we have had a tremendous population growth immediately following World War II. We have had it at a time in which we have had automation, in which there is a need for a different type of technical training than we've ever had before. We've had it at a time in which there is a status factor attached to higher education, in which every parent, every community says that every young person should go ahead into college. And therefore, how can they do it? How can the parent meet the cost? How can they adjust their young child to the four-year institution? Because as they graduate from high school younger and younger every year, they go into the four-year institution, and many times they can't adjust to it socially. So that all of these things put together means that there was the need for a new type of an institution, an institution which could meet the needs of an entire community, the community college. So here we have then an institution which can meet the needs of the young people so far as their first 2 years are concerned without any cost to the parent in many communities beyond that required for a student to attend high school. I know that there are some communities, I believe you have it here in Oregon, where there is a small tuition payment.
Yes.
But in California, we do not happen to have that. There is the possibility of the young person who is not mature enough for going on of being able to stay in home for a year or two longer. There is the possibility of this student staying in the two-year college where there is a strong professional counseling program where the young student who hasn't known what he wanted to do would have the availability of a counselor. There is the possibility within the community college of meeting the needs of a local community through our advisory committees as to what is needed vocationally, technically, so that we can set up programs where the younger person and the older person can get ready technically or upgrading-wise for a better professional or occupational career.
Well, now I think we are pretty well agreed that a community college serves the needs of the community. The problem, one of the problems as I see it, is how does a college such as this stay abreast of the community community needs? I would think this would be a tremendous problem.
Well, this is probably our biggest problem, and I've already alluded to it in one sense that I mentioned the advisory committees. I regret having to refer back to Foothill College again, but...
Oh, happy to have you.
The fact is that the moment that we decided, or the community group decided there was going to be a community college in the area in which Foothill is located, a community group, a citizens group, was established of 35. They discussed for a period of almost 8 months what this college should do for the local area. They came up with a program, which was the beginning step for Foothill's program and how it would institute its entire development at that time. However, almost within a period of 4 to 5 months, it was recognized that this didn't keep up with the times. Consequently, we began to establish advisory committees on cultural activities. We had advisory committees of citizens I'm speaking about.
Yes.
On recreational activities, advisory committees in, I believe at this moment, 41 vocational areas.
41?
41 vocational areas who advise us on how we should meet the vocational needs of the community in the way of training of young people or of older people so that they would meet the needs of the area. We have two citizens groups advising us in our academic program as to how we meet the needs of the students who wish to transfer. So what I'm trying to say is that we have a continuous program of meeting with citizens advisory committees all together at this time. In addition to the 41 advisory, I think we have 9 others, so it's a total either 50 or 51 citizens advisory committees who are absolutely continuous with us.
Well, fine, Dr. Flint. We have, of course, certain advisory committees in Portland that stem from our old adult vocational and education department, which is now Portland Community College. Certainly, we are not in a league, let us say, with Foothill College with 41 and more advisory committees. Time certainly is of the essence, and we have just run out of it. I want to thank you, Dr. Calvin Flint, president of Foothill College, Los Altos Hills, California, for being our guest and friends through the medium of tape recording. At a community college conference held at the coast here in Oregon, we have been talking with Dr. Calvin Flint. This legislative report will be broadcast every Wednesday at this time through the medium of tape recording, and certainly we hope that you will join us. Now, this is Jess Leonard saying goodbye. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you at this same time next week.